G'day, Dandy Polish. Great to be back with you again. Today, I want to talk with you about what Christian life looks like at the extreme. Now, there's this analogy that I keep coming back to in my mind lately when I think about what happens when I put God first in my life. Now, Paul came up with this analogy of running the race. He talks about it in Hebrews chapter 12. If you've got your Bibles there, you can grab them out with me. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, he describes the analogy and he puts it like this. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, and then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given up your lives in your struggle against sin." So that's Paul's analogy. He said that as Christians, we are all running a race. We're pushing ourselves to the limit of what is possible. And there are others who are also running beside us. Now, let's not forget the context of this passage, because this passage begins immediately after Paul has just finishing what is perhaps one of the most famous passages in the entire New Testament. It's Hebrews chapter 11, and many people describe it as the heroes of faith chapter. We've got guys like Abraham there. We've got Noah. We've got Moses. And so you can see why Paul is using this analogy immediately after describing the lives of some of these great men of faith. Person after person after person had put God as number one in their life, no matter what. So let's get into this analogy. What does it mean? What's it really all about? Well, Paul says that we're all running this race of life, but how do we get to the finish line? And how do we finish well? You know what he says? He says, throw off everything. Now, there's something we actually need to understand about the Greco-Roman sporting world here. It's not really like the AFL. It's not like the modern-day Olympics. It seems that the Greeks were so committed to the running that they were even willing to lighten the load completely in order to win their races. And so how much can you possibly take off your body before you become as light as possible? Well, according to the Greeks, absolutely everything. So the Greeks would run their races in their version of the Olympics, stark naked. And so you can see what Paul is saying here. Now, I reject any suggestion that Paul was telling us as Christians to all join some sort of nudist sporting group. But he is telling us that we should get rid of everything that comes in between us and running our race well. Now, it doesn't matter how important we think it is. It doesn't matter how useful we think that thing is. It doesn't matter how good we feel when we have it. Paul just implores us to abandon anything that gets in the way of us and God. Because when you make God the most important thing in your life, it means that suddenly everything else is worth getting rid of just to have him. Now, it wasn't just in Bible times that people lived their Christian experience to the extreme and like went really, really deep with God into surrender. There's this guy named Eric Little that I love his story. He lived in like the early 1900s. And Eric Little was a missionary in China. He grew up in a missionary family there in China, and he continued that work into adulthood. But he did go to uni back in England and started doing some running and some athletics and some like rugby union. And it turned out he was a really, really good athlete. And so he was actually nominated by England to represent the nation in the 100-meter sprint in the Paris 1924 Olympics. And as he's getting on the boat to head across the pond, as they call it, to France, to Paris for the Olympics, he finds out that the heat for his 100-meter sprint event is going to be occurring on a Sunday. Now, one thing we haven't mentioned about Eric Liddell yet is that he was a devout Christian. Like, seriously devout. So much so that he would spend every single Sunday going to church and doing church things and God things, and he would not do anything that related to his athletics. So when he found out that the heat, which would get him into the 100-meter sprint event at the 1924 Paris Olympics to represent England, was happening on that Sunday, he was like, "Guys, I'm out. Like, I'm not going to do it." And everyone was just shocked. And suddenly, this guy had the pressure of an entire nation coming down upon his shoulders to push him to do that heat. The Prince of Wales even called him up and just said, "Look, mate, you're gonna do it. This is your country we're talking about." And Eric was like, "Bro, you're not as important to me as my God. So I'm real sorry. I'm not gonna do it." And so everyone was just like shocked and devastated and they were real sad. But Eric had a bit of a backup plan. One of his mates actually was good enough to give up his place in the 400-meter event for that Olympics to Eric Liddell. Now, if you know anything about Eric's background, as a runner, he was not that great when it came to the 400-meter events. He was good, but he was only good at like a regional level, not at an international level. But he started training, and no matter how hard he trained, his times were just not getting down to that number that he needed to hit in order to really do anything significant in that race. But he continued on and he decided, "Look, I'm just going to run the race. I'm just going to do it." And that morning, he was handed a piece of paper by one of the officials. And that piece of paper, he opened it up. And on there was some words of encouragement, as well as this Bible verse. It was 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. And it says there, "Those who honor me, I will honor." And I guess that encouraged Eric. He jumps into the race that day. He starts running. And to absolutely everyone's surprise, he ends up winning the 400-meter race. The one that he was consistently slow on. And he won the gold medal at the Olympics for his nation. And like everyone was just shocked. They just could not believe this guy. And the Guardian newspaper actually reported on this event and the shock of it all. And they said, "Liddell has already decided that the race he has chiefly to run in this world is not on the cinder track." And what they meant is that his race was primarily about God. And so a lot of people were just inspired by that. And you can see why. This was a man who had every reason to make compromises in his life of faith. But he didn't. He just had God as his number one, and everything else, no matter how important, came second to God. Now, after that, Liddell went back to China to continue just being a normal missionary. He could have gone on to do more Olympics, but he decided not to. And he died of a brain tumor in 1945, tragically. And he was a very, very loved man. The people that he worked with as a missionary in China were just devastated for days. This man was like the center of their Christian community. And apparently, the last words that Eric Liddell spoke before he breathed his last were, "It's complete surrender." It's complete surrender. And what he was talking about there was that life is all about complete surrender to God above everything and anything else. So that's the story of Eric Liddell. I hope that inspires you, maybe gives you some perspective on how extreme and how far you can go with God. You know, there are a lot of people out there, I reckon, that they imagine that, like, there's this very narrow spectrum of Christian experience, and that at one end of the spectrum, it's like the nominal Christian experience. You just go to church a few times a year, and that's the basic level. And then they imagine that there's this very short spectrum which leads to you go to church every week, and maybe you do something extra during the week, like a prayer meeting or something like that. You pray each morning and you read your Bible, and that's about the full extreme, the full extent of what is possible as a Christian. But I don't believe that. When I look at men like Eric Liddell, and when I look at some of the great people in the Bible who were super close to God and just were completely surrendered, you see that that spectrum extends way, way further along. Okay, so let's say that you have thrown out all of your stuff as you're racing. You've thrown it all off. You're still wearing clothes, but you've thrown off all your sin and your other commitments and your priorities. They are secondary to God. Does that guarantee that you'll finish your race well? Let's keep on reading. So the next thing that Paul says here is he says that you need to, in your race, fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus. Who's Jesus in the race? Well, he's the coach. He is the champion. He's like the guy who got 10 gold medals in a row, and he is now your coach. He's your forerunner. He runs in front of you backwards so that he's facing you and you can keep your eyes on him and he can keep his eyes on you. And he runs in front of you and he knows what's coming next in this race. Why? Because he's run it before. You have never run this race before. This is the first time you have lived your life. And you've come into this race with all sorts of fears and uncertainties and pride. And you fear that you may not be strong enough to finish the race well. You're uncertain about what's coming around the corner. You have no way of knowing what's going to hit you in your life. And you have these fears because they're real. You are not strong enough, most likely. And you don't know what's coming around the corner. There are things that will hit you in your life that you have the potential to take you out. And there are parts of you that in the wrong moment have the potential to send you way off track. And you know what I'm talking about if you think for even just a moment about your weaknesses and your propensities for evil. And so that's all before we even consider your pride. You are better, you think that you are better than you actually are. You likely think that you are more moral than you actually are. You probably think that you're smarter than you really are. And so this is where your coach comes in. He runs ahead of you a few meters and he talks you through the race. And so don't look at yourself on the big screen up in the stadium. You'll go off track if you focus on yourself. Don't look at yourself. Because you'll start to remember all of your weaknesses and your past injuries and the fact that you ate all that chocolate bar for breakfast, and you'll lose confidence and sit down in a pile of self-pity with an entire stadium of people just looking on. Don't look at the person running next to you either. If you look at the person running next to you, they will actually distract you from the finish line that is ahead of you. And you'll start fooling yourself that you're so much better than them, or that they're so much better than you. We compare ourselves far too much with other people in this life. And we don't know them. You know, people look really great when they're filtered through Instagram. But God never tells us to compare ourselves with others in this race of life. Also, we can't look at the things that we have thrown off and that we have abandoned behind us. Like the sins that we've let go of, the things that we used to be obsessed with, the people who used to tell us that this race was like a waste of our time. We can't look back at any of that stuff because we run in whatever direction our eyes are pointed. And it's important because this race is your life. And there is nothing greater that you could possibly pursue than a deep, committed life with God. So how do you finish your race well? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You forget about everything else. You forget about everyone else. You spend time with God every day. Listen to the Bible on an app or read the Bible. Listen to sermons on YouTube or podcasts when you're riding your bike or commuting. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Go to church each week and ask God to speak through the music or the sermon or the small group conversations that you have. Think about who you're hanging out with. Unite yourself with good, solid Christian mates. And then, maybe most importantly, stand firm in your faith with God. Tell people what an amazing person he is and the incredible things that he's doing in your life. Ask your mates if you can pray for them when times are hard or just whenever you feel like praying for them. And don't expect it to be an easy race, because this race is not a simple, easy one. Stand firm not because it's easy, but because God is like the most important person in your life now. You know, there was this girl in 1999. Her name was Valine, and she was sitting in a classroom in high school in a place called Columbine. And as she was sitting there, a couple of guys came in with guns and they started shooting people. And one of the shooters came to her and held the gun to her face and said, "Do you believe in God?" You know what she said? She said, "Yes." She said, "Yes, I do believe in God." And she said, "Yes," knowing that she would probably die for admitting that simple fact, uttering those few little words. But she said, "Yeah, I do believe in God." Her faith inspired many, many people as this story got out after the shootings happened. Her story got out to people in the community and across the United States and the world. And people were just inspired by this young woman who would just stand by God in a moment of such risk like that. She actually survived that shooting. She was shot, but she was one of the few survivors from the Columbine shootings. And just went on to inspire so many people because she put God first in her life. You know, I used to believe something that I kind of laugh at myself with now. I used to believe that the way to inspire people was to tell them that life was going to be easy, it was going to be pretty good, and it was going to be lots of fun. You know, that you're going to have a good life, you know, be optimistic. You know, I thought maybe like the whole motivational speaker thing was something that I should emulate with people. But I don't believe that anymore. There's this trend in our world today toward the belief that each of us is like this fragile little creature who lacks the strength to encounter a difficult world. But I think it's bullcrap, to be honest. I am convinced that each of us needs to be challenged in order to grow and in order to live up to our potential and in order to experience what life is really all about. We have to be challenged. And we actually love to be challenged on a fundamental level. That's why we push our bodies to the extreme limit in competitive sport like Eric Liddell did. That's why we study our butts off for a quarter of our lives at school and at uni. That's why we work hard in our jobs. And it's why we have children. One of the greatest challenges that we could probably ever take on in our lives is children. I mean, think about it. They keep you up all hours of the night. They take all your money. They eat all your food. And then they don't thank you for it at the end by providing any sort of repayment for the expense that they put on you for 20 or so years of their lives. But we do these difficult things not because they are easy, but because something tells us that our purpose is to push through difficult moments. And I think that that's why we're actually in our element when we are truly committed to making God the most important thing, the most important person in our lives. Like, why do you think that there have been so many Christian martyrs, people who have preferred to die than to deny God? It's because God is literally the only person who can bring absolute fulfillment and peace and like transcendent joy into your life. Don't be fooled by all those voices that tell you to pursue the easy path. Don't be swayed by the temptation to think that the meaning of your life is to be found in the pleasures of your life. Your life is a race. A race which, if run well, will be all about loving God and serving other people. It's a race where if you want to finish with like absolutely no regrets, you run hard and you run fast and you face the challenges and you run in the direction that God leads you in. And you trust your coach. You trust Jesus because you know that he has the best plans for you and he has the ability to take you to wherever you're meant to be. And you run that race, not for your own glory, as most people do. But you run to glorify other people, to lift other people up, and to glorify God above yourself. In Galatians 2 verse 20, it says, "So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And I think that really sums up this whole question of what is Christianity like at the extreme? Now, this is Paul saying these words. Paul said, "So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He's echoing this idea once again that in his race of life, the only thing that matters to him is that he trusts Jesus, who he is just fixing his eyes on, and he's stripping everything else away in his life so that he could just focus on him and racing toward him and doing whatever he requires in his life. Paul didn't mess around with his faith. He lived it to the extreme. He was not just a once a week Christian and that was kind of all. Maybe he prayed sometimes. Like, his obsession and the only thing that he ever cared about once he was converted was just following Jesus and running the race that he was called to run. Now, each of you guys, you've got different life experiences. You're in different places in your life, different stages. Some of you have just like your teenagers. You're just like in high school. Some of you have like young adults and you got kids on the way or kids already. Some of you are like in the retirement phase of your life. The question for you is, what am I meant to be doing at this point? At this point in the race, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Where do you want my feet to be planted? Which direction do you want me to go in? What is it in my life that I need to strip away in order to just run fast toward you? What things should I be doing in my life so that it actually ends up meaning something rather than just being like mundane and nominal? And those are all questions that I can't answer for you, and I wouldn't want to answer for you. These are questions that you go to God with, and you just go, God, show me what I need to do. And so I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at with God right now, I guarantee you that there is more to experience. There is a greater depth of relationship to have with him. There are massive potential things that you can do with your life that haven't even been imagined yet. But it all starts with those words of Eric Little. It's all about surrender. Surrender your life to God. If you haven't done it already, if you did it but then you took it back at some point, I just want to encourage you just to give it over to him. A, because he can be trusted, and B, because once you trust him and you give your life completely to him, your race will go a lot better. Let me pray for you now. Father, thank you for showing us through the experience of men like Eric Liddell and of Paul and so many others before us, that there is a lot more to experience as a Christian than just the everyday stuff, than just the mundane, than just the nominal experience. I really believe that you have massive plans for each of us, and that the only thing that's holding us back is us. It's our choice to hold back from you. But Lord, in the race of life, I don't think any of us wants to get to the end of it and know that we reserved some energy that we didn't expend, or that we could have done something, but we were too scared. So help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to follow you deeper. And yeah, thanks so much for Jesus, who makes all of this possible. Amen. Catch you later, guys.